This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we take a look at key topics around the UK campus and in the Lexington community. I'm your host, Hunter Mitchell, and tonight we'll be talking about the rise in cryptocurrency and if it's worth your investment. Cryptocurrency is a digital currency created from code. It is tracked through a peer-to-peer blockchain that cannot be altered once a transaction has been made. The idea behind cryptocurrency is that there will be no higher government, like the banks or the Federal Reserve, to regulate your money. Your money is your money. WRFL reporter Addie Miners reports on the benefits and setbacks of a world transitioning to cryptocurrency.
More than a digital currency used to buy online goods. Some say it is becoming a safety hazard, while others believe it's a way to escape government rules and regulations. Dr. Sudarshan, a professor at the University of Kentucky, has studied cryptocurrency and believes the biggest benefit of using a non-government regulated currency is your freedom.
Cryptocurrency allows people to buy what they want from whoever they want with no with less impact on taxes, on duties, on tariffs.
He's talking about the privacy and international freedom that comes with the use of cryptocurrency. Since it is controlled by no government entity and has no identity linked to it, anyone can use it to buy anything that they want from anywhere in the world. Russell Williamson, a fourth-year PhD student in accounting, warns that this much freedom leaves room for trouble.
It seems like there's quite a bit of illegal activity that Bitcoin is used to finance because it's anonymous, you can't trace it, and so that seems to be a big part of that market.
Williamson adds that though the proportion of legal to illegal items being purchased with cryptocurrency has gone down, the number of illegal items being purchased has not. This is one of the main things that's stopping the progress of cryptocurrency from becoming a mainstream currency. For WRFL Radio, I'm Addie Miners.
Our guests here to discuss the future of cryptocurrency and whether or not it's a worthwhile investment are certified Bitcoin professional, chartered financial analyst, and lecturer of finance at the University of Kentucky, Shane Haddon. How are you doing today, Shane?
Hi, good. Thank you.
Good. Along with Chief Executive and Technology Officer for Hiro and developer of Bitcoin mobile wallet Fiva, Lamar Wilson. How are you, Lamar?
I'm doing great.
Thank you both for joining us this evening. So, Lamar, we're going to start with a question for you. What do you think are some of the major advantages and disadvantages of the world transitioning to cryptocurrency?
The major advantages are that, you know what, you are in control of your own money. Like, that's the biggest advantage. It's about freedom. I understand from a standpoint of information how information was guarded from those that didn't have a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? So usually the kings, they usually kept libraries, and the peasants would have to stay out in the fields. Or even if you come to the United States of America, you have plantation owners who kept away education from the slaves, right? So when you start getting things like the internet that distributes that information, allows more people to have access to it, then you have more freedom. And that's the same thing that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are trying to do financially for the financial markets, right? Is to allow that type of freedom so you can control your own money. Now, some disadvantages, you have to control your own money. And the reason why I'm saying that is because some people are so used to having people do things for them mm-hmm. that they are They are not responsible for what they do with their money. And so they are used to the bank holding their money. So like with cryptocurrency, sometimes you'll have keys that you need to be in control of. And if you are not in control of those keys, you will lose your coins. And some people aren't ready for that level of responsibility. So we have to continue to educate people how to protect their coins. And I think right now that disadvantage will go away over time as more people learn. But I think there are far more advantages than there are disadvantages.
Do you see the regulation of cryptocurrency with its privacy making it easier for people like terrorists or thieves or hackers to get their hands on illegal information or things like guns and bombs and other, you know, dangerous items?
That is a bunch of FUD, mm-hmm. right? It's just a bunch of fear-mongering stuff because the largest currency used globally for that type of activity is the U.S. dollar. I mean, the thing about Bitcoin, and that's what I think there were some articles out that came out today talking about the forensic audit trail that Bitcoin provides and that the NSA has been watching Bitcoin addresses from however long, right? Because Bitcoin actually has a ledger that everyone can see, then everyone can see where the money is going. But when somebody puts $2 billion on the back of a semi-truck and ships it across the Mexican border, nobody knows, right? Mm-hmm. And that you can't trace where it came from. You don't know what happened to it. If you want to go watch a cool show, go watch Ozarks and see how money laundering happens, right? They weren't using Bitcoin. So I think that's just a lot of fear mongering around that that really makes people, it's just things to make headlines. And fear tends to sell headlines better than joy, right? Better than good things. So,
Shane, how is the SEC, the IRS, and the CFTC trying to regulate Bitcoin, other kinds of cryptocurrencies?
Well, first, let me just let me mention my thoughts on what is the, you know, what are the advantages globally to Bitcoin? The way I look at it is, for the first time, we now have competition to banking. That has never existed. And what we're seeing now is such a powerful innovation kind of unleashed on the world. And the potential benefits to society are enormous, but it's highly disruptive.
Right.
Where banks and governments have had a complete monopoly on the payment system for hundreds and hundreds of years because there was a need at the time because gold couldn't be used as a currency. And, you know, it was would have been a great currency. It's finite. It's precious. People value it. But it couldn't be easily transacted in as far distances. And so we had this banking system build up around it with synthetic gold, and then eventually just became synthetic fiat that banks held because they were creditworthy institutions. But we became this monopoly monopolies aren't good generally in market economies. And what we're seeing is now we have an opportunity globally, society has an opportunity through market economics, through democracy, to actually build up something that is better than the banking system we have now. It doesn't mean it's going to replace it, but it's going to force that system to at least become better. So we're going to have two systems. One is you can work through the banking system, an improved banking system, or you can pay directly with Bitcoin. It would have been great if we could pay directly with gold, but that wasn't possible.
So it brings in kind of a competition element.
Yeah. So if you believe in competition, then you should support Bitcoin. That's all it is. So as far as regulation, you know, first of all, when you talk about cryptocurrency, cryptocurrency isn't one thing. Cryptocurrency isn't an asset class. Cryptocurrency is just a new form to own something, right? It's like calling a certificate a asset class, right? You have to look down to what's underneath it. And there are different things underneath it. Some things are actually nothing, like Bitcoin. It has no utility at all. It's just, it is what it is. And if merchants accept it, it'll become a currency, right? Other things are utility tokens, where they actually have some utility, you can do something with it. And then other things are just security tokens. They're just tokenized forms of anything, right? Ownership of a car or a house or securities, right? And so one of the challenges that these regulators have is getting their arms around all of this, right? You have the tokenization of finance, the tokenization of ownership. Different forms of ownership and also different substance. So the IRS, the SEC, the CFTC, FinCEN, global regulators, state regulators, they all have to figure out how to map their objectives, who they're trying to protect, to this new system. So the securities regulators need to make sure that consumers that there's adequate disclosure. If something looks like a, if something's being used to fund a new business and it looks like a security and there's consumer protection issues, then they need to make sure that that's protected. That may not be the case with Bitcoin. Bitcoin isn't necessarily funding, right? So it's going to depend on what the underlying use case is for each one.
The value of one Bitcoin could cost thousands of dollars less than it did just an hour before. WRFL-FM reporter Sarah Baker reports on Bitcoin's recent plummets.
According to Reuters, at the beginning of 2017, one Bitcoin costed less than $1,000. Suddenly, its value skyrocketed, causing the price of one Bitcoin to cost around $19,000 at the end of 2017. Since then, Bitcoin has decreased more than 40%. After cryptocurrency's value plummeted before Christmas, dropping almost $2,000 in just an hour at one point, it later bounced back before falling again in mid-January, recovered and plummeting again at the start of last month from $10,000 to $6,000 in 4 days. For WRFL Radio, I'm Sarah Baker.
Shane, what does the fluctuation of this mean when it comes to purchasing a Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies, and how do you pay using your Bitcoin in, for example, like a Target?
I wouldn't spend Bitcoin in Target. First of all, you shouldn't buy Bitcoin unless you can lose all your money. Right? It may go to zero. The way I think about Bitcoin is Bitcoin, there is a chance that Bitcoin will be the currency that everybody uses in 10, 20 years. And we're able to now buy it at a discount. And it is going to fluctuate wildly in value as the probability of it actually becoming a global currency changes, right? Now, the information that we have varies. And normally you don't, like with a startup company that's going from zero to something, you don't observe that on a mark-to-market basis. But everything that is new has this type of volatility. It's not mature, right? And it's really not that, I mean, it's relevant. If it's your money, you're concerned, you're anxious about it. Yeah. But the point is, you shouldn't day trade it, in my opinion. You should buy it. It's currency. Bitcoin, at least, is currency, right? You don't day trade a dollar. You hold it. You invest it. You save it. So that's the way I think.
Yeah, I think the ubiquity of Bitcoin will cause the price to stop fluctuating. As more and more people have it, we'll stop trading it for fiat currencies around the world, which in and of themselves are volatile, and we'll get to a point where we're trading them for eggs and a basket of goods,
yeah,
right? And
absolutely.
Then once you get to that point and we're trading it for a basket of goods, then you'll start seeing more stabilization in it. The same way the U.S. dollar is everywhere, and it's ubiquitous, and therefore you can have more of a stable currency for the U.S. dollar when truthfully, I mean, is it really stable, right?
So when those big declines occur, how do investors typically handle that, Lamar?
Let me tell you something. There's this philosophy called HODL, but it's really hold. Somebody made a mistake on a forum and said to HODL when the price is going down. Well, the philosophy basically stems from the fact that Bitcoin in of itself, there are only going to be 21 million ever printed. And we all understand economics, basic economics, and that supply is limited. And the idea is that over time, there will be more people who demand it. And so as the demand rises against this very finite supply of currency, then the price will rise. And so, like he said, he would not take his Bitcoin and spend it at Target because he understands that right now, the amount of people that even know about Bitcoin probably make up 1-2% of the world. So as the rest of the world starts to wake up to this idea that they can use this currency, then based on just general economics, the price of that Bitcoin should rise over time just due to supply and demand.
And you guys have mentioned that one of the reasons why it fluctuates is because it's so much newer. So do you think that as more people learn about it and acquire it, that price will stop, sort of become more steady?
Yeah, I mean, eggs at your local grocery store fluctuate in price,
mm-hmm,
right? It just depends on seasonality, those kind of things. So I think we'll always have some type of volatility against other things, but I think it will start to slow down as we get more and more people in the game and it becomes more and more distributed and not necessarily have so many whales holding onto it at the top. So
Yeah, I agree. It's gonna remain volatile for a long time because it has a long way to go to reach maturity. When a currency that is mature has total market value in the trillions of dollars. Right now, it's $150 billion. So it will remain volatile. It's not really a viable currency right now, but that doesn't mean that its future as a viable currency, is any less real. It's on its way up because people believe in the future it will be a viable currency.
Yeah. And then as more people believe, we always say it's the church of Bitcoin. I mean, it's literally what it is. You got people who started this thing out who were cypherpunks, who were very idealistic and ideologues and thought about the world in a certain way. And as they went and found more people who believed in that type of ideology, then those people became the people that are holders. But now we kind of have Wall Street in, and Wall Street tends to look at it financially from a financial perspective. And so they, tend to trade it. But what's going to happen is, and what I continuously see, if you look at the chart of Bitcoin, it never dips below the last, right? If you look at the chart, it's continuously going up and to the right, because every time it dips, it never dips all the way back down to the other support levels.
Yeah, and what you have to understand about Bitcoin is it is a decentralized, open source, organic network that grows. It's not centralized, so it's not constrained to what happens through some centralized, organization. Globally, the network is growing and growing and growing, and as it's kind of attacked, or as people find flaws in it, it's improved. So it's growing stronger and stronger and stronger.
According to Yahoo Finance, there are about 1,450 cryptocurrencies in existence, and each one has a total circulation price and value of circulation, which determines where each is ranked. Bitcoin tops the list with the highest total circulation and value. WRFL-FM reporter Sarah Baker reports on why one UK student, Nathaniel Van Cleek, chose to invest in Bitcoin instead of the many other cryptocurrencies, and why he decided to eventually sell.
Bitcoin just stood out. It was at a very high price. It looked like it was climbing and climbing and climbing.
So Nathaniel Van Cleek decided to invest. But things didn't go as smoothly as he thought.
When I originally invested, the price for Bitcoin was around $10,000. It climbed and climbed and climbed. It peaked all the way at $19,000 earlier. I think it was back in December. And I was expecting it to keep on climbing, and then it started to fall rapidly, and it dropped back down to 15,000.
Which is what made him decide to sell out. He says he still made money, which is why he doesn't really have any regret. For WRFL Radio, I'm Sarah Baker.
Lamar, are there other cryptocurrencies other than Bitcoin that can yield a good return on people's investment?
Oh, Lord have mercy. They asked me about return. Listen, I don't recommend buying or selling any of the coins. But what I do recommend is that you research coins and see if they align with your principles. Okay? So I always say I don't recommend you buying or selling whatever coin, but there are some coins like that I hold. So I hold some of the older coins like Litecoin, and I hold some Ethereum Classic, and I hold Bitcoin. And I play around with a lot of the newer coins because I have that a group on Facebook called Wakoinda, and I have my own page at BIGMARH. Shameless plug. If you go on Facebook and look up BIGMARH, Big Mar, you'll find my group. And I tend to try to educate, but I don't. Now, listen, a good return, I'm not Jim Cramer. So I'm not like, buy, 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 sell, 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 ever. I'm just like, you need to learn about this technology because it will be and is transformative and will be disruptive in the future. So you should have some. So, yeah, I don't know. Are you going to give some predictions on retirement?
No. I mean, I'm with you. They're all like penny stocks. I'm most interested in the currencies, what I call global currencies. And shameless promotion, globalcurrencyreport.com. you can go and see what I think about these. And I have a fund, a global currency fund. What's really interesting to me are the ones is this idea of creating a global currency, and there are, I think, probably about 10 of the 1,500 that you're talking about that have no utility at all that are trying to get merchant acceptance globally. That's what I'm interested in. A lot of these are, like I said, cryptocurrency is not an asset class. It's just a form of holding, of representing ownership in something. So, are any of these going up? I don't. It could be anything. So, No, I'm not. I don't have any suggestions. Like I said, and if you're interested, if you're thinking about doing anything in this market, you know, don't unless you can lose everything. Because even the form of owner, even if there were a cryptocurrency that held IBM stock or something, that could go to zero because it's just a new frontier. So you have to be very careful.
According to Bob Mason's The Next Cryptocurrency Evolution, countries issue their own digital currency. Ecuador, China, Senegal, Singapore, and Tunisia are all countries that have already launched their own cryptocurrencies. Japan, Russia, Sweden, and more countries are looking to follow. Some of these are likely to take it further and replace paper tender altogether. China is one nation that is looking to take a step beyond a virtual and paper version. Of the countries looking to introduce their own form of cryptocurrencies, the world's largest economies could force the hands of the smaller nations. WRFL-FM reporter Addie Miners reports on what it would mean to you if the United States were to launch their own cryptocurrency.
As more and more countries study the technologies and techniques behind cryptocurrencies, the question of, will this become the new normal, arises. People may assume that the world will soon be using Bitcoin, but that is incorrect. These countries are not interested in adopting the cryptocurrencies themselves, but the technologies that make them unique. Russell Williamson says the blockchain technology used to actually record transactions of cryptocurrency is the greatest benefit.
The use of blockchain technology, for me, I think it has great potential for data analysis.
A blockchain is similar to a ledger in accounting, which is a record of a company's transactions recorded by hand. Yes, this takes some time to do, which is why blockchain is such a useful tool to countries, because it could eliminate the excess time it takes to record transactions. Not only is it efficient, but Dr. Sudarshan says it is also transparent in a way that still protects the identity of its users.
So you don't have to have anybody hold a private record saying A sold this to B or B bought this from A, but it's known to all those in the private transaction. But then the market is very well informed about preferences and supplies, and it makes the whole system very much more efficient than what we have currently.
With so many countries adopting the idea of currency using blockchain transactions, it's only a matter of time before the United States looks into their own cryptocurrency. For WRFL Radio, I'm Addie Miners.
Lamar, do you think the United States will launch its own cryptocurrency?
Man, that is very interesting. I would think they would. The only problem with them doing that, then they'll try to shut down everybody else. So that's the reason why I hope they don't, because I think that's what will wind up happening, because they still want to keep the monopoly. But I don't see why they wouldn't, because to be honest, right now, I feel like our dollar is a cryptocurrency. How many of you have dollars in your wallet right now?
I do. Michael does.
Do you really?
Yeah.
These are young people with dollars. Y'all seeing this, right? Y'all have dollars in your wallet?
I have no idea.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. Most people don't normally have dollars. They're not walking around with actual dollars anymore. People just use their debit card, or you guys have the food card? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to school here too, so I understand. but it's all digital, right? And it's using some digital ledger, albeit centralized, to keep track of all of that. But you guys are pretty much using a digital currency every time you swipe that card.
That's the big, the term centralized, that's everything. Cryptocurrencies, there's a lot of things that are going to become tokenized into a cryptocurrency, the dollar included, I'm sure. That just means it's a better way of tracking. But that doesn't really mean anything. The Bitcoin is a decentralized cryptocurrency. That's everything. That's actually the only thing that matters. That's the invention of Bitcoin, is decentralization.
Preach.
It's not.
Preach.
So it's actually, I would say, a bad thing that a lot of these countries like Venezuela are creating a blockchain-based currency, because all it means is it's a centralized payment system that they can use to track the payments of their citizens in a better way, which is bad, right? So more centralization, using the blockchain for more centralized payments is not a good thing. But I think that there are going to be smaller countries that do create a decentralized currency. That would be really interesting. So you have a country that issues a new currency, swaps all of its currency. Let's say Canada. It's not that small of a country, but let's imagine that Canada creates a decentralized currency and exchanges Canadian dollars for that. and then walks away and says, okay, we're no longer going to be able to issue any more of this. We can still manage the supply through the banking system, but now it's decentralized. Now you have a market. Now you almost have a foothold for the network effects of the market using a decentralized currency, and then it just spread, and the whole world would use it. I think decentralized currencies are inevitable because currencies are based on network effects, and more people want to use it. But it is going to take something like that, some big institution, a government, a big merchant like Amazon, somebody to have the kind of vision to issue a decentralized currency, not a centralized currency.
And I'll say the only reason I have dollars in my wallet is because I haven't been to the bank to deposit it yet. So you're not wrong there, Lamar. You're not wrong. Shane, what do you think about the technologies that are used in the transactions of the cryptocurrencies?
What do I think about the technologies?
The technologies that are used in the transactions of them, yes.
Like wallets? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like wallets. What do you think about wallets?
Well, they're necessary for the payment system to work, to access. You know, the underlying blockchain itself is not something that your average person can interact with. So wallets were introduced immediately to provide a bridge for the regular person to pay. With transactions on the chain. So. I think that's going to be, let me put it this way. The technology needs to continue to improve to make the experience as consumer-friendly as using a Visa card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put it that way.
You have anything to add to that, Lamar?
No, that's exactly, I think the same thing. We tend to, in the blockchain Bitcoin space, most of the people are more developer than they are designer. Uh-huh. And the best designed wallets and those types of things tend to be on top of centralized services like a Coinbase. So it's like we have to get to the point where, but I mean, there are a few of them like Jax and the Fever wallet when it existed. Go check out the Fever wallet on YouTube, Fever plus Gift. You'll go see what we were doing with the Fever wallet. But the Fever wallet was made for that very reason, to make sure that we could provide a wallet that my grandmother could use. And until that happens, until we get more of those types, people thinking that way, then I think if we don't get that, then it's going to be difficult to use. But I love wallets. That threw me off. I don't know where the beep came from. The bat phone. They like, tell Lamar to be quiet.
Michael wanted to ask about an ATM in Las Vegas that actually lets you. Do you have any news about that?
At the D. It's been there though, right? So the D. It's can I say this on the radio? It's like don't it's cuss. At the D. I know, but I keep saying at the D. And it just sounds crazy. So it's just it's nuts. Anyway, the teenagers know. I mean, the young people know what I'm talking about. Anyway, the ATM is at the D.
Yes.
And you can go in and basically like use Bitcoin to get cash out to go spend money at the D. Did you do that?
No.
But you want to.
I saw it.
Oh, you saw it.
Yeah, I saw it at the D on Old Vegas Strip, and I was just curious about it.
Yeah, I mean, the D, the guy who owns the D, has been Bitcoin, pro-Bitcoin for a very long time. And so he was one of the first people to put the ATM directly in his casino, which I think, here's the thing. Why not? If people have all of this wealth built up in Bitcoin and you own a casino, you should put a Bitcoin ATM at each corner so people can use whatever cryptocurrency they have to get cash out to give you money at your casino, right? So.
All right, well, that's all the time we have. We want to thank our guests on cryptocurrency, and now we have a better insight on whether or not it's worth the investment. Thank you again to Mr. Shane Haddon and Mr. Lamar Wilson. Thanks for joining us for tonight's Campus Voices, and join us next week when we discuss STDs on the rise. 88.1 WRFL FM Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Hunter Mitchell.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.FM and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.FM/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.